And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15, and I do have some local news that I'm going to get to here, but lots of texts coming in after our first hour, talking about the breakdown of our families, the breakdown of our culture, how the per capita number of guns hasn't changed dramatically in America, but the number of mentally ill people, and then everybody says, well, they have mentally ill people in Europe, and they don't have these shootings. And why should an 18-year-old be able to buy these guns on his birthday? I actually agree with that one. You know, here in Washington State, they raised the age to buy guns like that from 18 to 21. I was not an opponent of that. I find it ironic that the same party that wants to raise the age for buying guns from 18 to 21 because brains are not sufficiently developed is trying to lower the voting age from 18 to 16. No doubt they want to do it because they know brains are not sufficiently developed, and that's necessary to attract more people to their side. I've talked about, well, first, let me talk about the safety of schools, because you know, the last 2 years we have seen and heard an alarming rise in children with psychological problems. We locked them down for a couple of years. We told them they couldn't see their friends. They couldn't visit their friends. And kids have been spiraling for 2 years. And I've heard it from hundreds of parents who have seen it in their previously well-adjusted kids. Well, imagine the kids who are struggling, the kids who have a drug addict mom and no father. Imagine what that did to them. The last thing we should be doing today is trying to tell all children that they are about to be mowed down in a bloody massacre themselves unless mom and dad supports the gun control. It's a despicable thing to do. Here's the truth. Statistically, children in America are safer at school than any other place in their life. More children, by far, more children die at home. More children die in car accidents to and from school. More children die on athletic playing fields doing the healthiest of activities. The lowest death rate place for a kid to be is at school. Now, I know a lot of people want to exploit what happened yesterday so that they can push their personal agendas. And if you're willing to deepen the psychosis of a bunch of fragile kids to push your adult debates, what an awful, despicable thing to do. Right now, we should be reassuring our kids that school is the safest place. You can still have your gun control debates, but don't drag your kids into it, and don't try to make your kids even more anxious, because we have a lot of anxiety-riddled 18-year-olds in America. Okay, now what about the guns? Okay, the buying age, I said it wasn't objected when we raised it in Washington State from 18 to 21. The only thing that was tough for me on that is telling 18, 19, and 20-year-olds that they can sign up to defend our nation, and we give them guns in their military service. Tough for me to say that when those 18, 19, 20-year-olds come home, that they are not afforded the same protection. That was the tough one for me on that issue, but I was not an adamant opponent of raising the age from 18 to 21, because I agree that the adolescent brain, and especially the adolescent male brain, and especially the adolescent male brain that has been addled by porn and social media garbage from the time they're able to log on, I do not have a problem with that. Here's the problem with the gun control debate, and I've talked about this so many times over the years, and it's incredibly frustrating because the people who want to ban guns are living in an absolute fantasy world with their desires. And I'll explain why. America does have 300 million guns. Now, if our founding fathers had not included a Second Amendment, and if there was a way to blink your eyes and cross your arms and nod your head like Barbara Eden and make every gun disappear, I don't think we'd be worse off if we didn't have any guns. We'd have some animals out of control if there weren't any hunters. But you know what I'm talking about. But that's never going to happen. It's never, ever, ever, ever going to happen. There's nobody who's going to make all guns disappear. It is a fact that we have a Second Amendment and that Americans own guns and criminals possess guns. So show me a law that's going to disarm the criminals but allow the law-abiding people who want to use guns for personal protection and home defense and taking care of their family that would protect their rights but take the guns away from the criminals. Instead, we have politicians who do the exact opposite. We have an awful lot of laws on the books that add enhanced penalties for crimes committed with a gun. Jay Inslee, in the last 2 years, released hundreds of criminals from the Washington State prison system who had gun-related felonies. All of those people are out on the streets right now that he released. And then Jay Inslee yesterday issues his tweet about how heartbroken he is. He won't even enforce existing gun laws on criminals. On proven criminals. He released them from prison. Part of his emergency powers. He's up to about 815 days on, so he doesn't have to follow the law or abide by the Constitution. But can some serious question. Can somebody explain to me how Jay Inslee, with his anguished tweet about what we need to do about the gun problem, how that same man could be the one who released criminals with gun felonies from our state prison system. Hundreds of them. Hundreds. Some of whom went on to kill again after he let them out. But if you can explain to me the law, I don't have any problem with enhanced background checks. I went through a long background check when I've bought my guns. You know, the day I bought my gun, I had to wait 2 weeks to pick it up because that's the period as they run a pretty investigative background check on you. I don't have a problem with that. I didn't have a problem. I'm not like Homer Simpson who went in to buy a gun and says, there's a waiting period, but I want to kill now. No, I'm not like that. No, I don't have a problem with background checks. I don't have a problem with raising the age. But in all seriousness, beyond that, which we already have in our state, show me what could be done that will take the guns away from the criminal, bad guy, mentally ill, and protect the rights of the armed citizens who, either for sport or hunting or personal or home and family protection, are armed. But in this little fantasy land of the gun control people, we got to get rid of guns. Well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not when we have a Second Amendment. You're not going to have people going door to door and, you know, like Robert Francis O'Rourke, who stages his little stunt. I mean, all these kids just died, and the fake Hispanic Robert Francis O'Rourke goes to Governor Abbott's press conference and stages his little stunt because he wanted to bolster his horrible gubernatorial campaign down in Texas.
Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Sit down.
The next shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
No, we need to get his ass out of here. This isn't the place to talk this over.
This is totally predictable. When you,
sir, you're out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Please leave this auditorium. I can't believe you're a sick son of a would come to a deal like this to make a political issue.
Hey, 19 children just were murdered. Maybe that'll help my gubernatorial campaign, thinks Robert Francis O'Rourke. What a clown. What an absolute disgrace. But, you know, his solution when he was going to be the gun czar for Joe Biden. He wanted mandatory gun buyback, mandatory gun buybacks, which means he wanted to send armed federal agents door to door, and if you didn't give up your gun, they would take it by force. That's what he proposed. So the criminals would be the only ones to have guns under his plan. So in all seriousness, stop debating this in the realm of fantasy land, because there are 300 million guns in America, and we do have a Second Amendment. And every single person that I see arguing this issue ignores both of those facts. And there is no way to have an intelligent debate on this issue without acknowledging those facts and dealing with the reality of those facts. But I know that fact is the four-letter F word that people on the radical left hate the most. So that's where I am on the gun issue. You show me a way to get them away from criminals and keep them in the hands of the people who have a right, who were born with an inalienable right by the rights protected. The rights are not given to us by our Constitution. Our rights are birthrights. They're granted by the Creator. These are our founding documents' words. And the Constitution doesn't grant us those rights. It protects those rights. And we got a governor who has no problem letting hundreds of gun felons walk. Do you know how many judges we have who have people before them? I'm not going to remember the name, but the guy just a few weeks ago, Federal Way apartment building, had just gotten out of prison, had multiple guns on him, had two children in his car, and he's in a drug deal, and he points his gun at a woman, and he's arrested, and he goes before a judge. What does the judge do? Lets him walk. A felon with guns committing a drug crime is arrested. And here in Washington State, we let him walk. Jay Inslee is obsessed with taking away guns from law-abiding citizens who have never used their gun in an illegal way for 1 second. But Jay Inslee appoints judges who let felons who commit crimes with guns walk away. That judges like Averill Rothrock, 15 and 16-year-olds walk into a pawn shop with guns, fire a shot into the ceiling, pistol whip the owner of the business. They're arrested. They appear before Judge Rothrock, appointed by Jay Inslee. Both Jay Inslee and Averill Rothrock went to one of the easiest law schools in the country to get into, Willamette. He appoints her to the bench. She has in front of her 15 and 16-year-olds who commit gun crimes, who have a long history of other crimes, and she should have held them. But she let them walk too. And a few weeks later, they went into a pot shop in Tacoma and murdered Jordan Brown. So you explain to me, Jay Inslee, When you tell us how you want, you said that Governor Abbott in Texas is a cause for moral revulsion in a tie with all those in his party who refuse to stand up to the gun lobby. How in the world can Jay Inslee write those words, that the Republican Party refuses to stand up to the gun lobby, but he appoints judges who let gun felons walk, and then they kill a few weeks later? Jay Inslee released, with his emergency powers, gun felons from our state prison, and then they walk, and then they go on to kill again. But it's the other party's fault, right, Jay Inslee? Fantasyland. They're all in Fantasyland. Like I said, some local news. I wanted to follow up. Aaron had a little bit of this, but the other big story yesterday was that car accident on the Ship Canal Bridge and this family that lost their 22-year-old son. They'd adopted him from Ethiopia. He was hit. He had gotten out of his car, which had broken down, and a 22-year-old alleged drunk driver plowed into his car at 5 a.m., and the car hit this young man and sent him flying over the railing 180 feet above the water on the Ship Canal Bridge on I-5. But, man, this family is beautiful and courageous and just so admirable in how they honored their son.
He was going to do amazing things with his life, and I don't understand any of this. It doesn't make sense.
Teresa Shelley is at a loss after the death of her 22-year-old son, Jordan.
Here's Jordan.
Who she adopted from Ethiopia.
In Ethiopia, you live to what your name means. That's the hope. And it was his namesake. Jordan Melawal meant, what can I do for you?
The family says he was living out his name while aspiring to be a doctor in Seattle.
This is not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. You got cheated.
Jordan's car had broken down on I-5 Ship Canal Bridge Tuesday morning. That's when another driver hit his car from behind, the impact of the crash sending Jordan over the edge and into the water below. Divers recovered his body. State troopers believe the driver who hit Jordan was under the influence, meaning this could have been prevented.
If you're going to do it, just please, please do not get behind the wheel of a car. It's not worth it. And today did not have to happen, and it's very tragic.
Now Jordan's family has to...
It's awful. Just awful. Cairo 7 with great coverage of that. But there's another issue. Under the influence of what? We've got a state legislature, a state Supreme Court that has refused to fix making all drugs legal in our state. And so we got more people loaded on our roads, and the plague of driving under the influence continues or increases. It's just disgusting. So disgusting. All right, that is your Fastest 15. We're going to check the news for you here at the bottom of the hour. And the isolation of kids is, and the breakdown of the family, those are a couple of issues that I've talked an awful lot about the last 2 years with my friend Brock Heward. And Brock's going to join us live coming up next as we continue here on the Dory Monson Show.
Here's Dory Monson with Brock Heward, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy.
Recently infused the last few hours with a fresh dose of patriotism. Brock Heward joins us. Good afternoon, sir.
Been quite a week, Dory, at a concert at Red Rocks Monday night. Chris Tomlin, Christian artist, plowed through in a rainstorm, a rare rainstorm, but got to worship with, 8,000 people that night. And yeah, just finished up with probably about that same number of folks for the Air Force Academy graduation. One of our good friends, their daughter graduated, a senior there at the Air Force, and got to watch the Thunderbirds put on a show, got to hear from the Secretary of Defense, got to watch bright-eyed, brilliant kids who have sacrificed, who have persevered, who have incredible discipline and character, and yes, very much infused on a dark day, on a tough day. I know you and I chatted earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Doing a show on a day like today, it just in watching shows last night and people reacting to a tragedy that is senseless, that is evil, that we can't grasp, and and understand, frankly, in this world that we live in, where I know we talked 2 months ago about the battle is more than flesh and blood, man, and the evil and the demonic forces at play just took way, way too many young lives yesterday.
Well, not just yesterday, but, you know, we have hundreds of people every day who die from fentanyl in America. Yeah. And we allow that to come in pretty much unabated across a porous border. You and I have talked extensively the last 2 years. I've often said that I believe that what we've done to kids in America the last 2 years will be looked at as one of the greatest moral crimes of our lifetime. You've been saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not shocked when I hear that the Buffalo shooter and the Uvalde shooter are 18 years old. We locked all these people down at age 16. We forced them to sit in front of a screen or a screen in their hand. Where there's an endless stream of shallowness and garbage in front of them, and then we act like we're shocked by the manifestation of all this?
Well, I think there's two things at play here, Dory. I think that level of isolation and what you're speaking to, and a number of folks used this analogy today, the speakers at the Air Force Academy, saying if you see a turtle on the top of a fence post, you know it didn't get there by itself. And it took everybody to get that turtle. It takes others. It takes your community. It takes your parents. It takes your friends. It takes your school. It takes loved ones. It takes friendship. We are not a people that can live in isolation. And sadly, our politics has done that as well. And watching the reaction of this, our politics just wants to divide. You know, I really love, and I don't know if you do, Dory, as much as I do. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I love Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith and Ernie and Shaq. I think it is the best studio show going. They're NBA on TNT. Yes. They are the best and have been doing it a long time. And you know what they are? They're different. You know what they are? They don't share the same all political beliefs. You know what they are? They got different gifts to both communicate and otherwise. But you know what they do? They come in together in unison and have community. And to hear them speak on this last night, man, it was just... You know, Charles said it. You know, our politicians are letting us down. They are dividing. They are isolating. They are making us land on one side or the other instead of bringing people together. This pandemic did it. The politics at play through this pandemic continue to do it. We are not a people, and certainly our young people, that can live in isolation.
Well, and I think we've talked about this. It's something that I've been preaching for 20 years on this show. And that's the breakdown of our community, because traditionally, especially in places like Seattle, traditionally the gathering place from the formation of our country and even for centuries before there was an America, for all cultures, the gathering places have been the schools and the churches. Mm-hmm. Here in Seattle, we have about the lowest childless population in America. We have the most unchurched population. And I'm not criticizing. I mean, people choose not to have kids. That's better than having a kid you don't want. And I have no problem with people who don't share my faith. But there is an inescapable fact, and that is if you have a bunch of random atoms bouncing off some structure going their own way and they never galvanize, they never come together, of course you have disconnected human beings. And we're seeing that in America, too. We're losing our gathering place.
Yeah, there's just no social fabric that cares about one another, honestly. And worshiping Monday night, as I said, at that concert, I just constantly looked up at the group of people, the mass of people that was just worshiping and singing and praising together. Something we get to experience on Sundays as well at a wonderful church out here called Brave Church. And then today, to be in those stands and these students that came in, they showed videos of them, Dory, when they start, right? When they get off the bus and they shave their heads. And they're in this together, and there's 40 squadrons. And it's not 972 graduates all in one class. No, they break them into what? Into 40 different squads, right? And that group gets to work together within the fabric of their class and in the entire university. And it takes all of them over and over and over and over and over again. You heard that messaging from the cadets, now lieutenants, from the speakers that were there, the Secretary of Defense that was there, that was a graduate of that university. It takes everybody. And when we live in isolation and we rip away the bonds of community and we separate and we divide, we have the chaos that we find our country in today.
You know, that's such a great point. And in the military, and look, I'm not exactly a conformist. I don't think the way most people think, and I don't see the world the way most people around here at least see the world. So I'm not preaching conformity by any measure. But the reason they do that in the military is because the collective is greater than the self. Mm-hmm. And I will put that in contrast with every bit of garbage on social media
yep.
that says that the individual is greater than any commonality, and you got a bunch of people running around lost. I mean, no foundation.
I would sure love to see an app with all the brilliant people there in the Northwest and on the West Coast and all the folks that can devise this. I would love to see the next great app for young people be one that doesn't allow you to tweet unless you've got like a group of 10 together who all co-sign on it, right? Who all work together to do that. Instead of Instagram, which starts with an I and is all about I and all about my own image, right? Make it a group. Make it not a... I know Facebook wanted to be a big community of people. Make it a group. Make it a group of young people that actually come together and they can message together instead of the isolation and the individualism we find ourselves in. That, as I said, and you and I have said for 2 years, is tearing apart our communities and our kids.
I'm hearing our playout music, but real quick, you mentioned your son, who's about as well-grounded a human being as I know, that he was scared about going to school today. And that's the other message I've been trying to pound home, is that school is still statistically incredibly safe, and the people who are exploiting what happened, as tragic as it was, to try to scare already emotionally, psychologically fragile children, it's despicable, man.
You can't do it in your 50s process yesterday. I can't do it in my 40s, and to watch a 12-year-old ask me questions and try to grasp it, incomprehensible.
Yep. God bless you, my friend.
Can't wait to hug you. Can't wait to see you here very, very soon, my friend.
That's right. We're together on Sunday.
Do you know we're rooming?
We didn't even mention Sitka next
Rooming
week.
Together, by the way. One bed.
No, we're not rooming together.
Rooming together, Big King, California King.
I guarantee
God bless you,
we are not rooming together.
Bye-bye.
Okay. But Brock Heward with us. Much more to come as the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on. See you, Roomie. Rolls on. Rolls on.
No chance. Oh, man. Whoopee is coming for your guns.
I want to thank Governor Abbott because he signed 22 bills this year, making it easier for mass shooters to buy, carry, and own guns in his state. Let's apply his abortion laws to guns by deputizing citizens to sue anyone involved in gun violence. So you sold an AR-15 at the gun show? See you in court. Does your neighbor have too big an arsenal? Call the cops. Actually, let's invoke some Supreme Court logic, too. Alito says abortions.
It's just amazing, man. So, piece of metal's the same as human life. Okay, all right, let's continue down that path, okay? Let's go.
It's not in the Constitution. Well, neither are AR-15s. So I guess the Constitution doesn't cover them either. Life is so sacred, then stop using guns to abort young lives.
And stop voting
using guns.
And stop voting for Republicans.
Hey, you know who agrees with that? Seattle venture capitalist, Democratic activist Nick Hanauer. If you missed this, we told you about it 90 minutes ago. Nick Hanauer, the self-loathing billionaire who got rich because he was an early investor in Amazon. He prayed on Twitter today. I don't know, this, he did this yesterday before we knew many details of what happened in Uvalde, Texas. Nick Hanauer is he gave a maximum donation to Jay Inslee's presidential campaign. He's good friends with Dow Constantine. He's a buddy. He's a buddy of the powerful on the left in our state. Nick Hanauer on Twitter wrote, "Dear God, please reach down in all your mightiness and give all of these Republican politicians terminal cancer. Let them die excruciatingly painful deaths and then chuck them into hell for all eternity." That's your Democratic activist who's been a prime funder of efforts to raise taxes in this state. And apparently he thought it would be funny to wish terminal cancer. I wasn't very close to my dad, but he died on a hospice bed after his lung cancer had metastasized into brain tumors, and it is horrible to watch. We just didn't have much of a relationship, but he was in a hospice bed in our living room when he died. And I've watched what terminal cancer does. And I would just suggest to Democratic funder Nick Hanauer, it's not really funny to wish terminal cancer on people because you disagree with them ideologically. I've been looking all over the place to see if his good friend Dow Constantine has condemned Nick Hanauer for wishing terminal cancer on ideological disagreements. Let them die excruciatingly painful deaths and then chuck them into hell for all eternity. That's just a sick and evil human being who says stuff like that. And Dow Constantine and Jay Inslee accept donations from this guy, and then they welcome him in to be a top Democrat policy advisor. Give all these Republican politicians terminal cancer. Yeah, that's just hilarious. Hey, speaking of The View, just in case you weren't listening yesterday afternoon, we had a very solid, maybe an all-time top 10 View moment of the day. This is not edited. We don't layer different tracks from different moments onto each other in an editing process. This is all unedited, and it's just fantastic.
And now it's time for The View, moment of the day.
But then you went right back to him.
Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to move on because
do me a favor,
because we don't have as much time as we did. So do this.
I did like working with her.
I'm sorry, Kellyanne, don't make, go on.
I was on ABC News on January 6th when people get to hell at the Capitol.
Ask your question.
And I don't want the 74 million Biden voters.
This is unfortunate, but we're going to go if you don't, if you can't let her do the question.
This has been The View, moment of the day.
Oh, that's one of the all-timers there, baby. Okay, coming up, right after we check the news for you, a Dory Monson Show exclusive. The superintendent of public instruction in our state, Chris Rakedahl, will join me and talk about what they're doing about security in our schools in this state next here on The Dory Monson Show.